this one of the series is, I guess, it's, I tend to get on a topic or a theme or something and try to stick with it a little bit. It helps me plan lessons, first of all. But it also helps me study deeper into lessons. And, you know, last month we talked about our speech and how our speech can be good or versus corrupt and those kind of things. And with the overall mindset that I've got going, at least in my mind, is this idea of positive thinking. We are often, and can be, obsessed with the negative, can't we? We can be obsessed with what's wrong and bad. And honestly, I just know from my own experience, we can thrive off of that. We can just thrive off of the bad in life. And today's, and for the month, guess what month this is? This is Thanksgiving. For those of you guys who are into Christmas songs already, I'm one of those. It's not Christmas yet. You can start that November or into November. This is Thanksgiving. We're into turkeys and we're into thankfulness. Christmas is coming later, but I'm proud of you if you like that stuff starting in September. I know some people do that, right? Maybe some of you never take your Christmas lights down. I don't know. But we're talking about Thanksgiving. Well, no, talking about thankfulness. You know, the whole, I'm not going to start talking about what our history. My understanding is Thanksgiving is about being thankful. It's about harvest. It's about a time of plenty. It's about, I don't know, even on our little farm, recreational farm we had, we didn't really have a harvest season. We was in the livestock, and we didn't grow crops, but you can see this is harvest season. People are harvesting their crops, and it's a time of plenty. It's so much plenty, there's waste everywhere. When we talk about killing the fatted calf, I have more experience with that side of it. You have a lot of food that you got to take care of, and all of it you can't just store. There's things you can cut up and put in the freezer for us today. You can cure it with salt. But there's a lot of stuff you just can't do anything with, and you just, the day of slaughter is a day of feasting. The day of harvest is a day of feasting. And it's a good day. I picture our older generations, this is the time when I can finally eat again. We was about to run out of stuff. Maybe we did run out of stuff. And this now is a time of joy and indulging. And this is our harvest season, and it's going strong, and I love to see that going on. So being thankful, in our scripture reading today, I chose it because Paul touches on one aspect, and it summarizes, well, it says it, there in 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything, be thankful. In everything, be thankful. For this is the will of God. In everything. Are we thankful in everything? Well, I want to explore some select passages that talk about being thankful and what they apply to. And I've got to be honest, I'm not sure these would be in a category that we're going to call to be thankful about. We're probably not going to consider these things to be something we want to be thankful for. But we're instructed to be thankful for them. So let's take a look. And if you have our lesson sheet, if you don't have it yet, you're welcome to get that and follow along with that as well. So being thankful. Philippians 4, a passage there. Let's look at that in Philippians 4, in verse 6 and 7. About being, now keep in mind, the idea we're talking about being thankful for things is what we're going to focus on here. So in Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful, the King James says, don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Don't have anxiety over anything. But in everything, by prayer, supplications, with thanksgiving. So we have on one hand anxiety, but in spite of that anxiety, be thankful and pray to God. Be thankful and pray to God. Let your requests be made known unto God. So be prayerful. And part of this, we've studied this passage specifically before, and the idea is to take to God in prayer. Take it here, but to our point, and what I'll focus on for our lesson, with thankfulness. You know, there's things that bother us. There's things that keep us up at night. But Paul says, be thankful. with a thankful attitude. And that's a hard thing to do. It's hard to be thankful for the difficult things. It's hard to be thankful for challenging things. But Paul says, be that way. And in verse 7, let the peace of God, let the peace that God gives, it which surpasses our understanding. You're not going to understand this, Paul says. You can't understand it. It's beyond our understanding. But His peace will keep you and can keep you and shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so there's that passage there. It's a prayer to God. And God gives this peace. We have anxiety on one hand. There's things we worry about. There's things we struggle with. If the farmers would have been worried about rain. You always worry about rain. You got to have rain. That's just talking before services. Down in Arkansas, they have irrigation systems everywhere. They irrigate. Period. Nobody dry farms down there. We don't dry farm up here. We dry farm up here. People don't irrigate. We rely on the rain to have crops. And so there's a time of anxiety. Am I going to get the rain? Am I going to get it at the right time? It's amazing. Farmers, they're never satisfied, right? You get the rain, but at the wrong time, right? No, just being facetious. It matters. And people, it's their livelihood. It's what allowed them to live. God gives the peace. God gives the peace. And then, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, as Paul wrote Timothy, and this is a very interesting book, actually, as far as the books go. In 1 Timothy, I call this, Paul is instructing Timothy how to behave himself in the house of God. And so that's in 1 Timothy 3:15. So the idea here, the way I teach this, is Paul is teaching the church what they're supposed to do. What is the church supposed to do? And the first point that Paul says the church is supposed to do, I exhort first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. First thing that I want to talk about when it comes to the church and what it's supposed to do, pray for everybody. Now notice who he says pray for specifically. He says pray for all men, but for kings, for all that in authority, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Give thanks for all men, and that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life. So basically, supplications, the wants, a want or a danger or distress, and then just in prayers, intercessions and on behalf of another, and then the giving of thanks. And for kings and those in authority, for those who could cause you. So the reality is, pray for those who are going to hurt you. And be thankful. Pray for those who are going to hurt you and be thankful. Because people and kings and those in authority, that you may lead a peaceable life. They have the authority to inflict injury upon you, but you, through prayer and thanksgiving, pray for them. And so we see the instruction there, and the idea of giving thanks. And just looking at what the direction of this thanks that's to be given is, actually, they even say giving thanks on behalf of others, for the goodness of God to others, is one of some of the ways that thanksgiving is supposed to begin. But we're to be thankful, prayerful and thankful, in the context of all men. All men, and particularly, he mentions those who are capable and able to just make their life miserable, to make their lives difficult. And so he instructs them, instructs the church to pray for these things. Now you got to wonder, what is the relationship between the church and the government? Jesus, are you King of Kings, Lord of Lords? What's the church? How's the church supposed to respond to these authorities outside of the church? Pray for them. You're not at war with them. Jesus' kingdom is not a physical kingdom at war with the world. It's a spiritual kingdom. And so prayers and giving of thanks. Giving of thanks for kings and those in authority. Give thanks. Be thankful. Also be thankful and turn over to 1 Timothy 4. He mentions something here that I think we can we can take lessons from as well. 1 Timothy 4, verse 3. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. And what I want to draw from this is basically be thankful for blessings under the sun. We have material things. This is about food. But the reality is we have food, we have our shelter, we have all these things that are available and access. We are blessed beyond measure. Be thankful for those things. They are from the hand of God. These passages in Ecclesiastes talk about how these things are from God and of God. They are blessings by God given to us, and rejoice and take joy in them. Know that they're material. They're not going to last forever. That's the whole message of Ecclesiastes. This stuff is just for temporary to begin with, and it's vanity, but it's from the hand of God. And it's useful. It's useful for us. And so be thankful for our food and provision. In this case, in particular, their food generally here, the food and provisions that we have. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. In everything, be thankful. In everything, be thankful. He teaches us there in 1 Thessalonians 5. Be grateful. And the idea of being thankful, being grateful, the synonymous word there that is used, be thankful for everything. For this is the will of God in Christ for you. Be thankful for everything. This is the will of God. So as we think about this, we're to have that attitude of gratitude. I kind of like the way that rings. That's a good message, right? An attitude of gratitude. Be thankful. Be happy with what we have. It's our response to anxiety. Be thankful. You know, there's good things that comes out of that. God can give us peace, first of all, but there is more work here than just what our worry is about. We can go to James and to Peter and look at how the trials in life are to help us. So there's reasons to be thankful. I think we have to look hard sometimes. But let's be thankful. The response to being wrong, as we talk about those who could harm us, as Paul taught Timothy, pray for all men, those in authority, that you may be peaceable and quiet life. They can hurt you. Pray for them and be thankful. So be thankful. The right attitude as we respond. In response to what we have, be thankful. In everything, be thankful. And above all, this trumps all of this, be thankful because we have hope. Right? Ecclesiastes writers like, there's no hope. This is all for naught. This is all vanity. All vanity. But there is something that's not vanity, and it's the vanity. It's what we get out of our spiritual life and spiritual reward that we have waiting for us. We have a hope. We have hope, first of all, for redemption from sin. You know, the idea that we can be recovered from the error of our way. We have no sacrifice we can give to God to make amends for it. I always have used this example. If I'm out driving my vehicle and I run into a car, I can pay and call on my insurance to fix that car. Retribution. I don't know how to use that sentence, though. I can pay for that damage. I can fix that damage. I can repair it. What do you do when you sin against God? How do you repair that? Jesus. It's the only way. So talk about being having gratitude. Talk about being thankful. We have the sacrifice made on our behalf so we can be cleansed of our sin. But sin be taken away, something we have no ability to care for ourselves. But He done it for us. He redeemed us from our sin. And then finally, He also gives us be thankful that we have a hope of eternal. This is not it. As we sit in this world, and as you look at the Ecclesiastes letter, the rains come and they go back to where they started. And all the vanity of life, time just keeps marching on, nothing new under the sun. and life is so monotonous and it's all a waste, and when I get done with this life, I'm going to have this great big huge kingdom and all this great stuff, and I'm going to give it to my son, and he's going to squander it. There is vanity in life. There's vanity in what we do here. We have this temporal stuff, this carnal things, but there's not vanity in the eternal life. And that's what the ultimate hope is. This is not all there is. There's something better. There's something greater. We're living with our God forever in His presence, having not having any more sorrow and tears, no pain, no agony, none of the stuff, no anxieties. Those are all gone. They're gone. Be thankful that we have this that's offered for us in eternal life. How do you access that? How do you access redemption? How do you get that? If you want that, what do you got to do? I want that. I need that, right? Well, Jesus taught, and his apostles, his ambassadors, as they went about, taught redemption from sin is initiated with belief upon him and being baptized and having those sins washed away. Because you believe what Jesus said. Jesus says, do this and it'll happen. And we know. Because he said it, it will happen. That gives us redemption from sin. But what about eternal life? That's just a step along the way. Eternal life for those who live faithful to God. And those who he finds faithful in the end will have this home eternal with heaven. But you know what? There's also another place that's not so great. That's an understatement, right? There's a horrible place waiting for those who reject God. And we by all means don't want to be in that category. Are you thankful? Think about that this month. Things happen in life, losing sight of what we have, losing sight of the good, will get us in a negative hope. It'll get us in a bad spot. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be of gratitude. Have gratitude. Have an attitude of gratitude. And by all means, when it comes to our life and our death and our eternal home, let's be with Jesus. Would you want to be with Jesus? You want to start that journey today? We offer you that as an invitation this morning to begin that walk. We will help you in any way that we can. Be glad to and excited to. So if you have answered our gospel's call this morning, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?